Hey everybody, I'm glad you were able to join us today, and hopefully together we can all get encouraged. I hope you're doing well and that you're staying happy, even though you may be having some challenges right now. I haven't cooked much for years and years because I'm too busy with the ministry, and I've gotten to the point where I've had to try to cook occasionally. So the first meal I cooked was really hard. I boiled hot dogs and opened a can of pork and beans. So we all had a big laugh about that. Then over the weekend, I asked Dave if he'd like me to cook his breakfast. And so I gave that a whirl. And when I got done, I couldn't tell if the eggs were fried or scrambled. But I think I ended up with two of them fried, and one of them was a mess on top of the two that I fried. So I asked him this morning if he wanted me to cook breakfast for him this weekend. He said, no, I think I'll pass. I did, however, make hamburgers one day. And that was the best hamburger that I've had in a long, long time. I'm sure a lot of you are doing things right now that you're not accustomed to doing. And, you know, one of the things that I hope, my son and I were just talking about some of the good things that will come out of this. I hope some of you are realizing that being home a little more, getting a little more rest has value. And maybe even when the world goes back to normal, you'll still take the time to be at home a little bit and take a little more rest and spend some more family time. Well, today I want to talk to you about hope, because I think that's something that we all really need to make sure that we keep strong in our life right now. You know, the Bible says that hope deferred makes the heart sick. That's in Proverbs, I think it's 13:12. And that's so true. You know, if you stop hoping and you get hopeless, then you feel bad all over. And hope is a very interesting thing. You know, when we think about hope, it's not just, well, yeah, I hope something good happens, but I'm not sure that it will. That's not the Bible kind of hope. And so here's a little definition, and I'll talk you through it. It's a favorable and a confident expectation. It has to do with the unseen and the future. Hope is the happy anticipation that something good is going to happen. And I love that. Let me say it again. Hope is the happy anticipation that something good is going to happen. And you know, if you believe that something good is going to happen to you or to someone else or in your life, of course, that does make you feel happy. Hope is often translated in the Bible as trust. You know, we talk a lot about faith, and I think a lot of people think they have faith, but they don't have any hope. And hope is kind of like the foundation that faith stands on. And just so you know what I mean, it's like hope really is, you can simplify it and say it's having a positive attitude. It's believing that something good is going to come out of everything instead of believing negative things. And so how can you trust God for something or have faith in Him for something if you start out with a negative attitude? And I honestly think that one of the best things that we can do right now is keep a positive attitude. Yesterday, I had someone say to me, well, I just don't know if the economy's ever going to come back from this. And right away, I said, well, I believe that it will. I think it'll come back and that it'll even get stronger. And I got an email from that person this morning that said, I wanted to apologize for what I said yesterday because God really dealt with me last night, that I wasn't putting my trust in Him, that I need to be saying all things are possible with God. And I believe that. That was our slogan for the new year, all things are possible with God, and I have to keep reminding myself of that. I think I mentioned last week, and I don't know if you were with us last week or not, but I've found out the last few weeks that I've lost about 2/3 of my hearing in my left ear. Well, I don't have any problem hearing normal things when I'm using both ears, but if I put the phone on my left ear, everything sounds garbled. I not only lost some of my hearing, but I have difficulty understanding what the words are that are being said, especially if they're things that are like fine line, mine, things that maybe sound a little bit alike. And I talked to an ear specialist, and he basically didn't give me a great deal of hope in the natural that anything could be done about it unless I wanted to go to something like a cochlear implant or something else. And, you know, that's really not what I want to do. And I've just decided I'm going to believe God for a miracle. And, you know, a lot of times we end up getting our miracle through natural means, doctors or medicine or whatever, but they've told me there's nothing they can do for me, so I'm going to believe God for the restoration of my hearing, and I would appreciate it if you'd believe God with me for that. And I'm sure a lot of you during this time have maybe gotten some not so good news about something else in your life, so you have to deal with that as well as deal with everything else. So I really want to encourage you to stay full of hope. If you want to make the devil mad, just stay hopeful, stay positive, and no matter what he throws at you, say, I believe that God is going to work good out of this. And I do believe that God is going to work good out of this in many different ways. Hope is very simply a positive attitude and mindset. The hopeful person absolutely refuses to be negative in any way. Although they recognize and deal with the storms of life, when you're hopeful, you don't ignore the problem, but you remain hopeful in thought, attitude, and conversation all the way through to victory. So let's look at it like, how would it sound if I had no hope, and how would it sound if I had hope? Okay, if I was hopeless, I would say, well, we've got this pandemic, and the whole world is shut down, and this has never happened before, and this is really bad, and you know, the outcome's going to be bad, and a lot of people have got it, and on and on and on. But we could say, you know, we have this pandemic, and this is something that's never happened before, and it is making it really, really hard for a lot of people, but I believe that ultimately God is going to work something good out of this, and I believe that he will restore to us everything that we have lost. Now, you are going to feel a lot better, and the people around you are going to feel a lot better if you take option two rather than option one, which was hopelessness. Anybody can decide to be hopeful. You can make a decision right now to change your attitude and be hopeful. All you have to do is not live based on how you feel or what you think, but you can decide, I'm going to have a positive attitude and I'm going to be hopeful. Now, you know, some really negative person might be thinking right now, well, what if I'm hopeful and things still really turn out bad? Well, you know, at least you'll be happy while you're waiting to see what's going to happen. There's just no way that you can lose if you have hope versus being hopeless. Our thoughts, our words, and our attitudes belong to us. And nobody, absolutely nobody, can make you have a bad attitude if you don't want to. Go all the way through to victory. Being hopeful. Romans 15:13 is a really favorite scripture of mine because it got me out of a really bad mood one night. I had kind of let my believing fade away, and I was starting to look at the negative things, and this actually has been probably 35 years ago, but it's always stuck with me. And I had a little box of those scripture cards at that time where sometimes if you needed a word from God, you'd go and flip open to a scripture card. And I flipped open to Romans 15:13, and God really used it to show me what my problem was. Because it says, the God of hope fills us with joy and peace in believing. Well, I was believing, but I was believing all the wrong things. And so I'd like you to maybe do a little check on your believing today. When we're finished here, why don't you sit down, spend a little time with God, and just ask yourself, you know, what you've been believing. A slogan my son mentioned to me this morning is starve your doubts. And that's a very good one because doubt comes to all of us, but we don't have to feed it. So doubt your doubts or starve them and they'll go away. The God of all hope will fill you with joy and peace in believing. 1 Peter 1:3, I love this. Peter said, we are born again into an ever-living hope. That's awesome. There is always hope in Jesus Christ. Now, I love this scripture, and you're going to like this too. What about if you were a prisoner of hope? You think about being locked up in a prison cell, and whatever is in that cell with you, you cannot get away from. Well, Zechariah 9:12 says, return to the stronghold of security and prosperity, you prisoners of hope. It's biblical, being a prisoner of hope. Even today do I declare that I will restore double your farmer prosperity to you. So there's a scripture that you can stand on. If you're somebody whose income has gone down during this period of time, and maybe you feel like you're going to be in debt when this is over, and it's going to take a while to get out of it, I can't promise you that that won't be the case, but I can promise you that if you keep a good attitude and you keep your trust in God, then He can help you find really creative ways to get back to where you need to be. Be a prisoner of hope. Stay locked up with hope and don't let it get away from you. Proverbs 13:12. I mentioned it before, but I want to mention it again. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. Now, something I want to suggest to you that can be a real problem in our life is if we forget all the good things that God has done for us. And so there's a message that I like to do once in a while called Living Amazed. And I have a little prop here that I want to use to help you get the point across. Now, this is salad dressing in this bottle. And let's just say that you know how salad dressing is. All the good stuff that makes it taste good settles to the bottom of the jar. So we need all that stuff, but we do need the oil too. It's not that the oil is not good, but by itself, it's not going to taste very good. So the first thing we do when we take out a bottle of salad dressing we're getting ready to use is we shake it up. Well, I think what we do a lot of times is we let all the good things, the memory of the good things in our life, kind of sink to the bottom. And everything on top in our thoughts and feelings and conversation is just what's going on right now. Everybody's talking about what's going on right now. And so I think you need to shake some things up in your life. And see, now we have to shake it a little while sometimes. If you get to the point where you've let all the good stuff sink to the bottom for a long time, you may have to shake it for a while. But see, now it's getting to the point where I could pour that on my salad and it would be really good. So I wrote down a few things that I purposely tried to remember. And I suggest that you write down some things that God has done for you in your life. I remember how frustrated and miserable I used to be and how happy I am now. God has done so much in my life for me, and I'm so grateful to not have to be miserable every day and feel bad about myself and feel guilty and condemned all the time and constantly walking around with fear. I remember having migraine headaches for 10 years, but you know what? I don't have them anymore. I remember the day that the doctor called me after having a mammogram and told me that they had found a lump and they wanted to do a biopsy. And, you know, I stayed hopeful. I thought, oh, it won't be anything. But when the doctor called, he said, you have breast cancer. And it's a very fast-growing type of cancer. And so we feel that the best course of action would be to do a mastectomy to make sure that it hasn't gotten into any of the other cells in your breast. The good news was it had not gotten to my lymph nodes. So thank God I didn't have to take any other treatment after that. Now, having the mastectomy wasn't any fun, but there was still something good to look at. I didn't have to take chemo. I didn't have to take radiation. But you see, now it's been 30 years since I got that report. And every year when I get my mammograms done, I get a clean report, a good report. Being told I had cancer wasn't any fun, but sure is fun every year now when they say, you're clear. I remember walking out of the hospital with my first son and having no place to go. Actually, for a few hours, I was homeless. I found a relative of my husband who had left me while I was pregnant, not Dave that I'm married to now, but I married the first guy that came along when I was 18 because I was hopeless and felt like I would never have anybody that would love me. And you know, desperate people do desperate things. And so he left me, was living with another woman while I was pregnant. And then after I had the baby, he came back around. So he found one of his relatives that would take us in. But you look at me now and you think, how could you have ever even been homeless for even a few hours? Well, it's good for me to remember the terrible condition I was in then and remember what all God has done for me. And then one more, I remember in the beginning of the ministry, driving a van. Dave and I saved up $1,600 and we bought a van, but it had bald tires and rusted wheel wells. And I remember us pulling over into fast food parking lots and taking naps in order to be able to drive home from speaking engagements I would do. You know, there were maybe no more than 100 or 200 miles from here. We didn't have the money for planes, and so we could only go where we could drive. And I remember not having enough money to stay in hotels and having to take little naps in those parking lots so Dave could drive the rest of the way home. And I'm so thankful now that I'm able to travel a little better than I was then, and what we drive does not have bald tires and rusty wheel wells. You need to shake it up. You need to get the remembrance of those good things shaken up. And then you see, when you pour that on your salad dressing, you're gonna get the good stuff mixed in with the oil. Shake it up a little bit. Let me give you a few statistics should cheer you up. Do you know, if you can read, you're better off than 2 billion people in the world today? Think about that. At least while you're in quarantine, you can read books, hopefully a lot of mine. A lot of times people say, I've read all your books, and I think, well, I doubt that because I've written about 140. If you can receive medical care for sickness and disease, you're better off than 11 million children who die every year from diseases. 11 million every year, because they can't go to a doctor, they can't get any medicine. If you're not hungry right now, or if you are hungry and you can walk across the kitchen to the refrigerator and get something to eat, you're better off than the 800 million people who are right now at this moment near to death because of starvation. Think about that. If you have clean water to drink, you're better off than 230 million people living in 26 countries who are drinking disease-filled water that more than likely will end up killing them. And this one just blows me away. If you make more than $370 per year, you are better off than 1.3 billion people. So maybe we shouldn't complain about our income. $370 a year. And then one other scripture I'll share with you today. There's a scripture in Hebrews that says, hope is the anchor of our soul. And you know, so often we read over scriptures and we don't really think that much about them, but I did a whole series on hope back in 2012, and I wanted to dig into that scripture. So if you think about an anchor, a ship can drop anchor and it will keep the ship from floating off in different directions. Well, if you think of your soul, it's your mind, your will, and your emotions. And when you're having rough times, usually those areas are the ones that just want to go wild. I mean, your emotions go wild and your thoughts go wild and your will gets, you know, well, I'll do this, well, I'll do this, well, I'll do that, well, I'll do something else. But the Bible says that hope is the anchor of our soul. And that means that if we will drop that anchor of hope in any kind of trouble, it keeps us anchored to God. And we don't have to let how we feel rule us, or what we think rule us, or what we want rule us. And you can find those scriptures in Hebrews 6, 18, and 19. Don't ever give up the hope of seeing change. This is not going to last forever. One of these days, I'll be doing a Facebook Live and we'll be talking about how great we're doing since the pandemic is over. So it won't last forever. And I want you to remember this. If you've gone through, you can bring somebody else through. And I love that. Let me end with a story that I love. It's called Puppies for Sale. A little boy saw a sign in the store window that said puppies for sale. He had always wanted a puppy, so he went into the store and asked to see the puppies. Soon a beautiful golden retriever came walking out, followed by the little puppies. One was lagging behind due to a problem with his leg. Immediately, the little boy asked the price of the puppies, and the owner said they were $30. Well, the little boy only had $2.70, so he asked if he could give that now and pay 50 cents a week until he got the puppy paid off. And as the owner pondered the boy's offer, the little boy said, I want that one, and he pointed to the puppy that was crippled. And the owner said, oh, if you want that one, I'll just give him to you. I won't sell him to you because he's crippled. And the little boy said, no, I will pay full price for him because he's worth just as much as the other one. The owner said, no, son, you don't really understand. That puppy you won't have any fun with. The boy insisted that he wanted that one, and the owner insisted that he didn't. Suddenly, the little boy pulled up his pant leg, revealing a shriveled leg with a heavy metal brace on it, and he said, I do want that one because I will understand him and I will love him just the way that he is. And you know what I think? I think that we're gaining compassion during this. I know that more than anybody, I think about and pray for the people that have lost their jobs, or maybe people that were self-employed and they can't even get unemployment. I think about the people that are so much worse off than I am. And you know, I can have compassion on them because I was homeless for a few hours and I did have breast cancer. And there are things that I have gone through in my life. And this is just going to be another thing that I can add to my list of things I've gone through that will help me have compassion and understanding on other people. We love you so much, and our prayer teams are praying for you all the time. And we believe with you that something good is going to happen to you even today. God bless you.